Now, it's just over 3 years since the Taliban took control of Afghanistan after the chaotic withdrawal of US forces in August 2021. Since then, the Taliban have banned women and girls over 12 from schools, and more recently, they've begun enforcing strict morality legislation, clamping down on behaviour considered un-Islamic. Earlier, we spoke to Professor Michael Semple of Queen's University, who's also a former deputy EU envoy to Afghanistan. First, I asked him, how much different is Afghanistan compared to that before the Taliban took over?
If we were standing on pretty much any street in Kabul and taking a glance around us, at first glance, it would look sort of normal. There are people out on the streets, obviously shops are open, there's traffic on the roads. And then you start to look more closely and you realize it is anything but normal. And you can start to see some indications of how miserable life is for much of the population. For starters, I mean, obviously we have to start with women. They look around in the streets of Kabul. Yeah, there are women out, but they are very, very much covered up, and they are trying to work out how on earth they respond to the latest edicts, which go completely against the culture which they have observed for decades, telling them that, you know, women have got to be so covered that they even have to cover their faces, and that they're not allowed to step out of the house unless they're accompanied by a chaperone. That's not the way that Afghan women live. It's particularly not the way that Kabul women live. It's tough on women. But men are being harassed as well. I mean, that under the Taliban, there's essentially, it's arbitrary rule with these sort of, arbitrary rules are imposed by these gangs of their enforcers, who are mullahs wearing white lab coats or doctor's coats, who are empowered to stop anybody on the street or at a roadside checkpoint. Yeah, complain about the length of your beard, threaten to lock you up for a few days if your beard is not the right length, and, you know, punish the male of the male guardian, as they designate it, of women who are, you know, out and about without being properly accompanied. But that's, even then, that's only a superficial version of the way that the Taliban have tried to control Afghan society. You know, free speech is out the window. Now, Afghanistan is, you know, includes many free-spirited people. So the Taliban have really had the work cut out for them in trying to prevent criticism of their regime, which they have, of course, banned. So much of the media which existed up to 2021 has simply been closed down. All the media which does exist is carefully watched by the Taliban, and the journalists are threatened and told to check reporting with them before they actually go out on air. But of course, Afghans do find ways around it. Some brave Afghans even go on the normal TV stations and speak their mind. But social media, it's taken the space that the legacy media used to occupy, so that Afghans share stories of the poverty, the indignity that they suffer, and also of the localized protests, not quite risings, but getting to the stage of local risings against Taliban rule. It's all shared on social media. Not to say that social media is completely free. You can be stopped on the road. They can force you to open your phone. If they find something that they consider incriminating on your Facebook, you can be, first of all, you can be beaten, or indeed you can be locked up.
When the Taliban took power 3 years ago, it made pledges on women's rights to education. It's reneged on those. Why is this?
Anybody who believed those promises was frankly foolish and naive. As a researcher, I can say that I worked throughout that period, had, you know, credible research, which supplied, of course, I published some of it and supplied the rest of it to policymakers, saying that the Taliban had a complete commitment to impose the same social code which they had in the 1990s. And that's exactly what they did. And that has included the ban on women's secondary education and higher education, and on work in many fields, including working in the UN and the aid agencies. Anybody who believed the promises was naive.
You mentioned earlier criticism on the ground on social media. Will the Taliban continue to maintain its tight grip on the country and society?
Yeah, there are several possible scenarios for Afghanistan going forward. It's possible that by the repressive force which they deploy and the formidable political unity which their movement has sustained over really three decades of struggle, and perhaps with support from external powers, the Chinese at the moment, to some extent the Iranians, it's possible that the Taliban will maintain a grip. However, I think it equally likely that they will face far greater challenges to their grip of power, and in fact they will lose the monopoly of power that they have. That could mean another civil war. That could mean that ultimately that they lose control of part of the country and then are forced back to the negotiating table, and they have to allow more Afghans in on the power structure than they have contemplated so far. It really depends on how effective the opposition to the Taliban can be in channeling the almost universal alienation of the population and building a kind of opposition coalition, which for the moment doesn't exist.